phase reference schemes. Okay, in QKD, one challenge for theorists is usually given a protocol to prove its security or to prove under which conditions it is secure, under which conditions it is not secure. The holy grail in QKD is to show the unconditional security. However, this is not what I will show here for the good reason that we don't have any proof for that for these schemes, but rather I will just study explicit attacks on these schemes, and this gives you an intuition on the security of those. Okay, so for the outline of the talk, first I will say what I mean by distributed phase reference schemes. I will actually give you two examples of such protocols. Then I will try to emphasize the difference with the more standard QKD protocols, and I will answer that question. And then I will give you an example of how to study explicit attacks and what they tell us. Okay, so let's start with the first example, which is the differential phase shift protocol that was proposed by Inu Wax Yamamoto. And I will try to remember how it works. So Alice here has a laser, and this PM is a phase modulator. The laser sends weak coherent pulses, and the phase modulator introduces some phases zero or pi. Okay, so you have a train of weak coherent pulses, plus or minus mu. Okay? What is important is that all the pulses have overall phase relationships because you have a mode-locked laser. And so you have one big phase reference. And between two successive pulses, you have either a phase difference zero, and as you can guess, it will encode a bit zero, or a phase difference pi, and this would be a bit one. Okay, so what about Bob? Here he comes. He wants to know the phase difference between two successive pulses. And so he comes with an interferometer, and the two successive pulses will interfere. And if the phase difference is zero, then they will interfere and go to that arm of the interferometer. If the phase difference is one, they will go to D1. And therefore, when he gets a click, Bob knows the classical bit. Of course, there are always some errors. And here you can estimate the quantum bit error rate or the visibility of the interferences. And those two are related. What I want to emphasize is this. We don't have qubits in this protocol. In more standard protocols like BBLT4 or 68 or B92 and so on, you have qubits. Each bit is encoded into an independent quantum systems. Here you don't have independent quantum systems. For instance, the first bit is encoded in the phase between the first and second pulse. But the second pulse also contributes to the definition of the second bit. Okay, so we cannot talk about qubits here. Okay, that was the first example. You want another one? Here it is, the coherent one-way protocol. That was proposed by the group of Geneva, but I don't know actually who came up with that stupid name, Kao protocol. Anyway, you have the same laser, but now PM is IM, an intensity modulator. So it will just switch off some of the pulses, and what comes out is a strain of either non-empty pulses, these mu pulses, and or empty pulses. Again, this is important. All the pulses have the same overall phase relationships as before. Okay. And now, how do we define bits? Well, you just take the pulses 2 by 2, and if the first pulse is non-empty and the second one is empty, that will be a bit zero. If the first one is empty and the second one is non-empty, that will be a bit one. Sometimes we also have two non-empty pulses that we call decoy sequences, but just forget about that. Okay, on Bob's side, he just measures the time of arrival, and then he gets the bit, right? But he also wants to check the coherence between the, all the pulses. So he has the same interferometer as before, and he measures the visibility of the interferences. So now you have two security parameters, still the quantum bit error rate that is measured on the first line and the visibility on the second line. But now these are not related. Okay, same question as before, do we have qubits? See, here you have two pulses that encode 1 bit. Okay, so you could say you have some kinds of qubits, but what's important is here that between two bits, you also have a phase relationship. So actually the systems are not independent. So the answer is again, no, we don't have qubits. Okay, so this was for the presentation of the protocols I want to study. I was talking about security. So first, can we prove the security in the same way as for other standard schemes? So for BB84 and all these kinds of protocols, we have quite general methods to prove the security and the, even the unconditional security. But these methods apply only to qubit-based protocols. So I guess I said that we don't have qubits here, right? So we cannot apply those methods. And we have to find other security proofs or to adapt these methods, and it's not that easy, actually. However, before we try to develop new techniques, what we can do is try to get an intuition of how these schemes perform and how these schemes, how secure they are. So we can try to imagine some attacks and study them, and this is what I will do now. Okay, so we're talking about attacks. You can see. The first attack that we can imagine is the most standard beam splitting attack. This is an important attack because it's always unavoidable and undetectable. Okay, what Eve does is she just takes the losses of the line. So if the channel has a transmittivity T, she just inserts a beam splitter and takes a fraction 1 minus T of the signal, and she keeps it. Okay, so it's important. In any protocol, you always have this possibility, and you cannot detect it. Okay, so let's start and study it. We want to know how much information Eve can get from this attack. So okay, we compute, we know the states that she has. We can compute these states, which are the states conditioned on Alice bit, on Eve's average state. And we know that whatever Eve does, her information is upper bounded by this quantity, which is the Holivos bound. S is the von Neumann entropy. Okay, so whatever she does, if she keeps her states in a quantum memory and measures everything coherently afterwards, she will never get more than this information. Okay, so this is the measure of information that we'll take for Eve. And now we can compute the secret key rate. So you have this factor, mu t eta, mu. Okay, you know what mu is, it's the intensity of the pulses. T is the transmission factor, eta is the detection efficiency. So all this is the detection rate. And you have this 1 minus q for the errors, but here the beam splitting attack doesn't introduce any error. And here you have Eve's information. That's for the privacy simplification. Okay, so when we study this attack, now that Alice and Bob know this formula, they can compute the optimal mu, such as to maximize this secret key rate. Okay, we were talking about the Kao protocol. We can imagine the very same attack. So I'll go very rapidly, exactly the same Holivo bound, and the secret key rate is quite the same, except for that factor 1/2, which comes from the fact that here you have two pulses for one bit. Okay. But you can do exactly the same. So compute the secret key rate as a function of mu. You can optimize mu for a given distance, that is a given value of the transmission factor t. So for a given t, you maximize over mu, and you get this key rate. What it tells you is, for instance, that at 40 kilometers, if you restrict if to the beam splitting attack, then you can, Alice and Bob can extract a secret key rate of 10 to the minus 3. Okay. But actually, since we restrict his attack, the beam splitting attack, then this is only an upper bound on the secret key rate that they can get from these two protocols. And what we can mention also is that there is, between the two protocols, they behave the same, and there is just a factor 2, which is the same, more or less, as this factor 1/2 we had before. Yeah, also you can see that you reach a linear regime here and here, and for mu t very small, that is for high distances, r is linear in t eta, and so actually you have this factor r0 of mu, which does not depend on t, and for the next attack we will stay in this regime. Okay, that was the first attack, quite simple. Now we want to imagine more powerful attacks. So let's come back to this beam splitting attack and write the transformation. So you start with pulses mu, and E forwards mu t to Bob, and she gives mu 1 minus t. Okay. So in this regime, we can develop the first term to be 0, so the vacuum part plus 1 photon. Okay. And we want to find more efficient attacks, to construct other attacks. So one idea is to entangle Eve to Bob's system. And so we can try to study this kind of attack, where Eve would attach this state to the vacuum part, and that one to the one photon part. Okay? The price to pay is, of course, to introduce errors. And you can check as an exercise that if you send this sequence, then you will get this visibility for the interference. Okay, so this is the idea of the attacks, the next attacks that we will study. And actually, they are just a little bit more complicated, because it turns out to be more efficient for Eve to attack the pulses 2 by 2. Okay, remember, in both protocols, it was always two pulses that defined one bit, so it's not surprising that Eve should attack the pulses 2 by 2. And so here's the transformation that we are studying. So Eve attaches this state to the vacuum part, that state to the part where you have one photon in the second time bin, and that state to the one photon in the first time bin. Okay. You can check also for the loss of visibilities. These are those ones. Same for the CAO protocol. We can imagine the very same kind of attack. Well, I didn't write the visibilities, but it's the same calculation. And here you also introduce a quantum bit error rate Q. Okay, so this is how we write the attacks. Now let's study them. First, we didn't say anything about the Eve states. So we have to define Eve states. And those states have to satisfy some constraints, such as we want to fix the visibility that Eve will produce, and also the transformation should be unitary. Okay, Eve will, of course, try to optimize her information. And again, we will use this Holleberg's quantity to measure the information. OK. complicated. And as before, as for the beam splitting attack, you can compute the secret key rate, or even directly this R0 factor that I was talking about, where R will be R0 times T times eta. So they compute the optima mu. And okay, we studied this and we performed the optimization numerically, except for some easy calculations that could be done analytically. And so here are the results and the bounds that we get. So what can I say? Interestingly, you still have the same behavior for the two protocols. You still have more or less this factor of 1/2. And except for the low visibilities, you have the same behavior. What I should say also is that here for Kao, I didn't introduce any quantum bit error rate. Okay, remember, for Kao you had the two parameters, V and the quantum bit error rate. So if you also introduce some bit error rate, you would have other curves that get lower and lower. But the reason why I didn't put them is that I just forgot them in Geneva. Sorry. Okay, so from that you can compute the secret key rate. Okay, I have a few remarks. So first, remember that these attacks give us upper bounds for the security of the two protocols, so we cannot. It just says that, for instance, above those lines, you can never achieve secret key rates that are here above, but we don't really know what is below, right? I should mention also that these are not the only attacks that you can imagine on these schemes. Actually, we know other kinds of attacks on both protocols. And again, since these are only upper bounds, we cannot conclude that the schemes are secure or not. Yeah. However, we're trying to find quite good attacks, and we hope that we are not that far away from the optimal ones, and that the bounds are not that bad. Okay, so in conclusion, well, we saw two distributed phase reference protocols. Okay, I hope I convinced you that in principle they are quite easy to understand how they work, but I guess this is why it's such a mess for a theorist to study them. But still, we could study some specific attacks. We got upper bounds. And the good thing is that we could get an intuition on how these schemes perform. This is a good point before we want to go beyond and try to prove the unconditional security. Actually, for those who know the history of the security proofs for BV84, for instance, first people came with some attacks, some pretty good attacks. Then they could prove the unconditional security, and then they realized that their attacks they had before were actually the optimal ones. So maybe the hope is that the story will be the same here. I don't know. We'll see next time. Okay, so I guess that's the end. Thanks. The simplicity of these protocols and also the fact that we could use very high repetition rates for those lasers. So they were supposed to be simple and rapid. Yeah. 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 Yeah, that's it. We don't know for now how to do that. We have some ideas, but we still don't have any lower bound. A lower bound would mean the unconditional security. Yeah. Okay, that again, I forgot the figures in Geneva. So, okay, this is just this R0 factor. So you still have to multiply by T eta to get the secret key rate. But you could study the same factor for high distances, for BB84, for instance. Okay, what I did was to study BB84 plus decoy states. Okay, we had this kind of curve. So it started maybe not that high, but maybe, yeah, here, somewhere here, it crossed the lines here. This is the optimal mu that we compute to get the optimal rates. So, okay, here for a visibility of, let's say 95%, you have mu equals to 0.2. Yeah. And for the beam splitting attack, the limit here was 0.3 for the DPS and 0.45 for the CAR protocol. Can also mention that here, these 2 points are the BS attack, the beam splitting attack. These 2 points here for visibility equals to 1, this is the BS attack, the beam splitting attack. You mean for each protocol, separate the okay, but then you go to very high dimensions and you. Okay, but you also want to have very big, very large modes, and then you want to go to infinitely many large modes. So, but yeah, you could do that. I didn't really try because I was afraid of the number of parameters and of dimensions, but that was one idea. Yeah. That's an idea.